Well, that is what Easter is all about. It means that Jesus Christ is alive. He died, he rose, and he promised to come and take us with him one day. And you know what? He always keeps his promises. Now, I see somebody else out there that I need to give some candy to. Cassie Jo, you see me later. This morning, on Easter Sunday, I'd like to suggest to you that there are three promises of Easter Sunday. I think Mackenzie's back there, too. Is that you, Mac? Mac, you're hiding. All right, there's two. Okay. And there's three promises of Easter Sunday. And they're empty. They're not empty promises, but they're an empty cross, empty burial clothes, and more importantly, an empty tomb. Can you say the A word with me? Alleluia. There's a young Tanner over there too. He's got to get some as well. He says, I don't want candy. Well, just the fact that those three things are empty gives us a complete assurance that God's promises are indeed very, very real. Christianity is based upon the truth that Jesus rose from the tomb to defeat death and sin. Now, if Jesus had not come out of the tomb, we would be like every other religion in the world. We would be following a dead leader. How very grave. Sorry, I had to go there. Buddha founded Buddhism, but Buddha died. Judaism was founded by Abraham, Father Abraham, but Abraham died too. Islam was founded by Muhammad, but he also died. All of these people never left their graves. We Christians who are worshiping the one true God, Christianity was founded by Jesus, Jesus of Nazareth, who arose out of the grave, and he still lives. He set us free from sin and eternal death, giving us the hope of spending all eternity with him. What Jesus suffered for us was not easy. We went through Maundy Thursday and emptying the sanctuary of all of the things until there was an empty altar. We had a service on Good Friday at noon in which we went through all that Jesus suffered for those 3 hours. Actually, it was more like 6 hours, from 9 o'clock in the morning until 3 in the afternoon. It was a really difficult time for him, and it was not an easy death. But we need to never forget what Jesus went through on our behalf. I don't think we can ever really appreciate exactly what he did unless we know exactly what he did. How many people here have seen the movie The Passion of the Christ? It's a hard movie to watch. It really is. You can get a version of it in English, but the torture scene shows what Jesus went through for you and me. But I got to tell you, it didn't even touch on what really happened. We can't even imagine what he went through and the agony Jesus endured on our behalf. On that cross, Jesus actually defeated sin. The cross remains empty because that's where our sin disappeared. We filled it today with flowers because what Jesus did for us gives us beautiful souls. They're clean from sin. The cross remains empty because sin disappeared through Jesus, our Savior. And not only is the cross empty, but so is that tomb. We visited Israel twice, and we went to the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. There's an empty tomb there. And then there's the Garden Tomb. And there's an empty tomb there. As a matter of fact, when you close the door while you're inside, it says, he is not here, he is risen. So people, they're always debating, well, which one was it? Was it the Church of the Holy Sepulchre? Was it the church with the Garden Tomb? It doesn't matter. It's empty. So who cares? The fact that the tomb is empty, wherever it was, is what matters. The Bible tells us there's no other name under heaven by which we can be saved. That name is Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus the Messiah. And because the cross is empty, we have the full promise of eternal glory with God fulfilled. Since Jesus died for our sins, God looks at the nations or notations beside all of our names in the book of life, and all he can see is his son's blood with the notation, forgiven. How good is that? To know that he died so that we would be forgiven. God the Father sees the righteousness of Jesus instead of our unrighteousness. On that first Easter morning, just before dawn, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, went to the tomb so they could anoint Jesus' body with spices and oils. This is quite a solemn task and very emotional for them. On the way there, I'm sure they were wondering who was going to roll the big heavy stone away so that they could get in. And when they got to the tomb entrance, they felt the earth shake. They were frightened. Who wouldn't be? But they continued toward the tomb. When they got to the front of it, they were absolutely shocked to see Roman soldiers unconscious, and the rock, the stone, had rolled away. They saw a man dressed in white sitting there, and they became even more frightened. The young man told them that they were there to see Jesus, the one who was crucified. But he said, "He's not here." He'd risen, and the tomb was empty. I want to remind you that it was women, hallelujah, who God chose to be first, who he told about the resurrection. And after that, he told them to go and tell. I believe God wants all of his children actively involved in his kingdom, and that includes his church, too. I'm pleased to honor the ministry of women in this church as lay readers, as lectors, as lay Eucharistic ministers, as acolytes, and as members of the Altar Guild, who tirelessly prepare the church and organist for the Holy Eucharist and decorate the church as they have today, and for other special celebrations in the life of this church. To those who know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, death has lost its sting. It's no longer something any one of us has to fear. What fear is there when we have a promise that because of the empty tomb, we're going to live forever with our Lord in heaven? Have you ever thought about just why the tomb was empty? It's easy. It's empty for one thing. Nobody's in there. Jesus is alive. Remember what the angel told the women. He had risen. And the promise of the empty tomb is that we can also live after we die. We can live forever with God in heaven, where we shall have the desire to worship him with all of our love forever and ever. In the 24th chapter of Luke's gospel, Peter was told about the risen Lord Jesus. He went to the tomb. Actually, he ran there. And he saw strips of linen that Jesus had been buried in. This could have only meant one thing. Jesus Christ is alive. There are many theories about what may have happened, but only one thing is in common with this. None of them explain why there are so many documented proofs of his being seen after the fact. They all seem to say he died, and they just kind of ignore the rest of the story. But it's the rest of the story that gives us hope each and every day, and we find a hope of glory. Ties everything together the way it should be. It's the rest of the story that tells how Jesus was seen after rising from the dead by over 500 people, walking with them, talking with them, and eating with them. And kids, you know what he said to each and every one of those people? Peace be with you. Shalom. Can you imagine the joy of the apostles when they saw Jesus again? Imagine being locked in a church, in a room like this, and all the doors are locked. And all of a sudden, Jesus appears. Can you get inside their head now and see that they must have been absolutely shocked? Here was the man that they worshiped, they followed for 3 years. They genuinely loved him. They learned so much from him. But here was a man that they just knew was killed and buried, taking him away from his disciples. Can you imagine the emptiness they felt, the fear, the terror? But here he was again, right in the midst of them. Wow. He had risen. He lives again. And it's the promise of that empty burial clothes that Peter found that proves it. Tells me one thing, Christ is alive. It's been nearly 2,000 years since Jesus was crucified, buried, and resurrected. That first Easter Sunday, as those women went to the grave, they had no idea what they were about to find, what was about to happen. They were not yet aware of the wonderful promises of that day. Off in the distance, at Golgotha, stood an empty cross. That emptiness was the promise of forgiveness, that their sins would be forgiven. They turned from the cross and went towards the tomb, just to find it empty too. And in the emptiness of the tomb, they found the promise of eternal life. Inside the tomb were the empty burial clothes. And it was in the emptiness of those burial clothes that they found that they could still have the promise of personal fellowship with their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And if you choose, you can know the hope found in the emptiness of so long ago. You can find the promises that Jesus offers you through the empty cross, the empty tomb, and the empty burial clothes. It's your choice to make today. So I need to ask you one question that you need to answer yourself honestly. Do you know Jesus Christ this morning? I didn't ask you if you've heard about him, because a lot of people have heard about him. I mean, do you know him? And if you do not, don't you think you should? I want you to hear what Jesus says in the last book of the Bible. And I got to tell you, it is not called Revelations. It is the book of Revelation. If you say Revelations, I will find you. No, I'm kidding. It's just, we were watching a show not long ago, and twice people said Revelations, and it was like nails on the blackboard. I wanted to, well, it was an old show, so I couldn't get in touch with the producers, but from the book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible, these are the words that Jesus said in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. They are speaking to each one of us. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will dine with him, and he with me. Do you feel him knocking at the door of your heart this morning? If you do, open the door and welcome the risen King of glory into your life and your heart. Ask Jesus to come into your heart and welcome the new life and hope of resurrection into your life. I hope that you will have a truly blessed resurrection day, because you know what? Christ is alive. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.